This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. 50 years ago tomorrow, there was an event that not a lot of people are talking about these days, but it was documented in a 1975 book called We Almost Lost Detroit by Detroit reporter John Grant Fuller. The Fermi 1 nuclear power plant next to Lake Erie, just a few miles northeast of Monroe, Michigan, had a partial fuel meltdown. We should note the owners of Fermi 1, DTE, published its own account of the Fermi 1 meltdown called We Did Not Almost Lose Detroit. DTE says what happened at Fermi 1 has been exaggerated. Michael Keegan is a member of the Coalition for a Nuclear-Free Great Lakes, and he joins us now. I understand you're going to be holding an event to mark the anniversary. What are you doing?
Albert Einstein tells us, to the village square, we must carry the facts of atomic energy. From there must come America's voice. So tomorrow at 3:09 at LaRonger Square in Monroe, Michigan, downtown Village Square, we will be holding a press conference to review the 50 years to the day, to the minute, since the core melt accident at the Fermi 1. And we've got Union of Concerned Scientists David Lockbaum, a nuclear engineer, will be giving us the official edition of what occurred at the plant.
I've interviewed him many times, yes.
Yes.
Is this just raising awareness of the near miss that was Fermi 1 50 years ago?
Well, the Fermi 1 was 50 years ago, but it still continues to this day, the legacy. The plant was rapidly disassembled in 1972 through 75, but the carcass is still there.
Right.
And actually, they want to build a Fermi 3 right on top of the Fermi 1. And in doing so, they have to, because it is a historical site, they have to establish a official recordation. And we tried to intervene to actually have some input into that official recordation, and we were denied. But the accident occurred October 5th, 1966, but there were run-ups to the accident. This reactor was problematic from its onset in testing. In January, they were having problems. And earlier that month of October, they were having problems. They were having problems the day before and the day of. And these were problems that they ignored, overheating issues. They ignored it until radiation alarms sounded and they realized that they had fuel melting going on.
Right, because a coolant was not getting through like it should. Some kind of plugged problem there. I want to look at the big picture, if I might, just for a second. You mentioned Fermi 3. DTE has gotten an application for that. Fermi 2 is just about to get final approval for a renewal of its license. Because of concerns about climate change and stricter emission standards, nuclear is seeing something of a resurgence, not just here but around the world. What do you think can be done to make nuclear more safe in the Great Lakes region?
Well, I don't agree with there's a resurgence. They talk about a renaissance, but it's largely been a relapse and it's a fizzle. And nuclear power is not the salvation to climate change. You get very little benefit from nuclear power. If you'd spent your money, for instance, the price tag on the Fermi 3 proposed price tag is now approaching $20 billion. And it would be a decade before a plant would be built to get any relief on greenhouse gases. If you spent that $20 billion in renewables, alternative energies, wind, solar, geothermal, conservation, you would get much more bang for the buck. So the economics are just stupid. But it is a lucrative cash cow that the industry and the utilities want to pursue, because if they could put us on the hook for $20 billion, they're going to make a lot of money.
I want to talk about another problem with the nuclear industry. One of the major concerns is the fact that U.S. has no plan to deal with spent nuclear fuel. The Obama administration killed the Yucca Mountain disposal plan. That means the default plan is storing the spent nuclear fuel in casks at nuclear power plants. And for the Great Lakes region, that means spent nuclear fuel is stored right next to a Great Lake. How much of a concern is that?
So it's a tremendous concern. Over at Palisades on the western part of the state, on Lake Michigan, there are canisters loaded They were loaded in 1994, and one of them was known to be faulty, and is still faulty. It's a tremendous concern. The product is poison. The electricity is fleeting. You have it for a few decades. It's gone. What you're left with is a toxic waste, highly radioactive nuclear waste, that's toxic for tens of thousands of years and has to be isolated from the biosphere. So it's morally irreprehensible that they're producing this poison with no place to take it, no known solution. No country in the world has resolved this. So it's a major problem. And here in Monroe, at the Fermi plant, they are now storing high-level nuclear waste on the shore. They consider these casks good for their initially licensed for 20 years. They can be relicensed for 5 times, and then they allow a 20-year cooling-off period. So what they consider temporary is 140 years. That's 2 biblical lifetimes. That's not a temporary situation. And yet there's been no environmental impact statement on what is the risk involved storing this waste on the shores of Lake Erie, the Great Lakes, at every single nuclear reactor. No environmental impact statement has been done.
So how do you think your event tomorrow will go over and be seen by folks when you've got these concerns, these larger concerns, as well as the historic ones?
We're trying to put forth a cautionary tale here. The Fermi 1 had a core melt. It was an experimental reactor. The Fermi 3, the proposed Fermi 3, this design has never been built before. This is an experimental design. Here we go all over again. And it's about the pursuit. With the Fermi 1, it was about the pursuit of plutonium, weapons-grade plutonium. Fermi 3, it's about the pursuit of capital. And the whole, this nuclear renaissance, the entire thing is predicated on somebody else is going to pay the tab. Detroit Edison's not putting their money in it. They're looking to get construction work under progress from ratepayers as they're building it to get it into the rate base. And they're looking to get federal loan guarantees, which is taxpayer money. Detroit Edison will not put their skin in the game. Venture capitalists will not put their skin in the game. Stockholders don't want it. But it's a big cash cow. And if they could spend our money doing it, building it, they'd be happy to dig a hole in the ground, making money hand over fist in the process.
Michael Keegan is with the Coalition for a Nuclear-Free Great Lakes. Thanks very much for talking with us about the event tomorrow.
Thank you, Lester.